This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 199 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, July 15th, 2015. Practically in the heart of summer here in the heartland, Buckeye State of Ohio. Thanks for joining me. I'm joined by Marcus Couch, my partner in crime. And Marcus, we're one shy of the big 200 next week.
I feel like having a rousing chorus of 99 bottles of beer on the wall. That's from the 99 theme.
Yes. So great to have you back on the show with me. And in this episode, we don't have any guests lined up. Occasionally, we don't schedule a guest because most of the time we have such a great time talking to our guest and diving in and getting them to divulge their knowledge to our audience that we usually don't have time at the end of the show for news. So today it's just going to be all about news. We're going to try and catch everybody up on our news and what's going on in the WordPress community. First, though, I want to read an iTunes review. And this review is by Hugh Line and was published on iTunes on June 29th, 2015. And he says, great way to learn about WordPress. As a newbie in the world of WordPress, it is difficult to find good resources that actually provide valuable content, along with excellent production values. What show is he listening to? The topics and format is exceptional. I look forward to each new episode while still traversing some of the older posts. Great job, guys. So there you go, Marcus. Another feather in the cap, so to speak.
Yes, and all of you listeners out there, remember that if you leave us an iTunes review, you can certainly leave a link to your website in the review. We'll not only give that link a mention within the show, but we will also include it in the show notes.
So and we will definitely read it.
Yes, absolutely. Even if it's bad, which I don't think we've gotten any bad ones yet, but
I'm waiting.
Yeah, I want to know. Yeah, if you think it's bad, you're probably not even listening that far. But I'm happy with the reviews that we've gotten so far. But in terms of how many downloads we get a week in the listenership and the fact that we've got a worldwide audience, I'm surprised that the US store is only limited to that 29 reviews that we have. I also think that what I'm going to start doing in the future is looking at the other iTunes stores like Canada, Australia, and some of the other English-speaking countries out there to see, because it is quite possible that you're leaving an iTunes review that we haven't read on the show yet if you're in a different country that has a different set of reviews entirely, which I thought was always a stupid rule.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes. So our friends in Germany and Australia may be leaving us reviews that we're just not conscious of yet.
Oh, wow. You know, and considering several episodes ago, we asked our listeners, hey, you know, send us a message. Where are you listening to us from? We definitely have an international audience. So we're going to have to look into that because we could have a lot more reviews, but not even be aware of them because we're just going by the U.S. store.
Right. So that's definitely my mistake for not checking those other ones. So, heck, we may have a whole backlog to review by next week.
Well, I'd be fine with that. Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. Some of these things we'll plow right through. Others we'll spend some time on. But the first thing everybody out there ought to know is that today WordPress 4.3 Beta 3 was released, which puts it one step closer to being in the hands of everyone. Now, of course, the software is still in development, so if you're going to test out or try WordPress 4.3, make sure you put it on a testing server.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the easiest ways to do that is to download the Beta Tester plugin, and when you configure it, set it to nightlies, and that'll put you on the bleeding edge, which also includes the beta branch, and that way you'll be able to test all the new features, and then once the 4.3 is released, you just switch to setting in the plugin and you'll be able to merge back onto the stable branch. It's a very convenient, easy way to test development versions of WordPress.
Not only that, but it gives you the opportunity to take a different seat in the WordPress environment, because once you install a beta version on a stage site, you know what your job is then? you are tasked with the daunting responsibility of trying to break it. And once you do find little cracks, or if you find little cracks, please participate and submit those particular anomalies back to the core team, because they'll greatly appreciate it. Heck, you may save thousands of people down the chain from running into that particular bug. So I encourage everyone out there, download WordPress beta 4.33 and try and break it. See what happens.
So, and if you find a crack or a bug or what you think to be something that is broken, please report it in the alpha beta area of the WordPress.org support forums. Those are monitored by the support forum volunteers, and if they see something that warrants additional info, they also act as liaisons. They'll pass that information directly to the core team, and there'll either be a ticket established or somebody will figure out whether that is a bug or not. So that's the way that works.
That's right. What's that phrase that NSA uses? If you see something, say something.
Oh, man. We've made it now if we're saying NSA slogans on our show. Oh, God. I hope they don't come after us. So speaking of WordPress 4.3, some of you out there may be wondering, well, what's in it? What's some of the cool new stuff?
Yeah.
So let's start off here. The first thing, the first big thing is that now you'll be able to edit and configure menus in the customizer. Now, there was a big hubbub about this when this news was pushed out, because in the release post talking about this feature, it was mentioned that the old way of managing your menus was going to disappear in possibly WordPress 4.4 and 4.5. And let me tell you, the WordPress community did not take too kindly to that information. So there was a big hubbub about that, a lot of debates and a bit of anger.
Is that the only place that we're going to be able to edit menus now?
No. So the idea that the customizer is going to be the only place to edit menus is unfounded. The old way of editing menus will still be there for the time being. It will be there for the next couple of versions at least. There's no estimated time of deprecating that way of managing your menus. But for those of you who it's sort of going to be preferred or pushed that you edit your menus in the customizer. It's going to be the preferred way, the primary way. But, you know, of course, if you want to do it the old way, it's still there if you want to do that.
Well, that's handy.
Depending on which interface or method that you feel is more productive towards your time, or maybe one interface is better for it than the other.
Right. Well, give it a chance. Give the new customizer menu editing capability.
I mean, that's at least everybody can do. Instead of just outright dismissing it, just give it a chance. Try it a couple of times. Mess around with it. Try and break it. But, I mean, you're right on, Marcus. I think the least everyone can do is just give it a chance and see what happens. Maybe you'll be like, oh, this is nice. I don't know. But, you know, that could happen.
Yes. The one thing that I think is always missing from the customizer is the ability to save a particular template, I guess you could say, and then be able to recall that later. So hopefully that's something that's going to be, since they're putting all this fancy stuff within the customizer, why not be able to recall that later with a different file or save pattern or something like that? It just seems natural that that would be something that you'd be able to save the configuration settings.
So what do you mean by template? Are you talking about single.php, like the actual template files that the theme is made of? Or
no, what I'm talking about is if you're going to go into the customizer and change things around, maybe you want to save a version of that within the customizer as sort of a settings save point, right? Mm-hmm. And then go back to it again at a different time. There's been a couple other plugins that have allowed you, at least when it comes to the menu configuration, to be able to save a certain set, I guess you could say, or version, and then save a different version, and then you could just go quickly back between the two.
For example, let's say you're working at a staging site and you set up your menu structure and you just want to export that menu structure into your live website. I guess there's not an easy way to do that outside of switching over the entire database.
That's right. And that's the drawback, is that if you want to do that, you have to do the whole banana rather than just little pieces of the configuration.
Although most of your web hosting companies nowadays, especially the managed WordPress hosting companies, allow mm-hmm. you to do your work on the dev site, staging site, and then boom, once you're finished with everything, you push the whole site, everything, towards live. You don't have to mess with databases or managing or exporting, importing anything. It just happens. So,
well, that's true. But here's what I'm getting at is, what if you want to A/B test, say, a sidebar menu? Or if you have a footer menu and you want two or three different configurations of it that you want to test, but if you don't have the ability to have some sort of a save point, then you've got to reconstruct the entire thing all over again. And, all right. And if you wanted to go back to that original one that you tried, you've got to reconstruct that all over again.
All right. So I hear you. I understand you. We're having some audio. It sounds like you're chopping or breaking up a bit.
Audio.
So I'm not sure what's going on there. But the next thing, if you want to quit and rejoin or close some programs, be my guess. One of the other things I wanted to mention is the site icon. Now, some of you out there, I know this might cause some confusion for some people, but it's not too difficult to understand. But the site icon essentially replaces the fav icon. And what you'll be able to do now, it'll be in the customizer, and you'll be able to upload an image and crop it to the point where, you know, it looks best to you. It has to be square, or at least they all look best when they're square. And it will actually crop the image down to specific sizes, from fav icon to the mobile icon to the icon that's used on apps. And it'll cover all the variations, well, most of the variations of how an app or a browser would see your specific sort of icon on your site.
And that's coming within core, right?
Yes.
Oh, that's huge.
That will be in 4.3. So on the Tavern, in fact, Marcus, I don't know if you remember us talking about this, but I used a generator
yes.
A long time ago that actually I created one image, and the generator gave me images for the iPhone, the iPad, Microsoft's mobile devices, and a couple of other devices, and there was quite a lot of files in there, but it covered me. I had just put all those files into the main directory, and those are the ones that were called upon. So what this enables you to do is, let's say you if you have an iPhone and you want to save the WP Tavern website to your home screen, well, the icon will look like the icon I set up. So it's the beer mug logo, and it actually looks like an app on your phone, even though it's really just, you know, a link pointing towards our site. So that's why it's kind of important to have a site icon or something that looks good on all these different devices.
I'm curious to know now, what is the refresh rate as far as if you make that part of the iPhone kind of home screen pseudo application thing? So if you, let's just say you wanted to have a little fun, and every day or every week you changed the site icon for the Tavern to maybe a beer one, you know, a beer of the week or whatever you're drinking or whatever. I wonder how often that refreshes in your phone. Maybe the next time you visit the site and it downloads the new icon.
Yeah, that might be a good question. I don't know if it might download the new icon as it's trying to browse the site, or maybe it's cached, you know, because the iPhone has cache in the browser.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe for the icon that shows up on the home display, the home screen, I wonder if it would only change if I resaved the URL to the home screen again. That way it would pull that image.
The current.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, I'll have to try that. That would be fun, wouldn't it? A little Easter egg hunt.
Well, I ain't changing the site icon every day, I can tell you that much.
I got it. You know what I'm talking about, though.
Yes.
I mean, it would be kind of funny. Like, you know, you put a little mini, hey, 4.3 is released or something like that. You know, the headline, you know, as if it were a newspaper. The lead photo up at the top. So that would be kind of cool.
And, of course, it will be in the customizer. So when you're editing your theme, there's a site title, tagline, and then site icon. So you'll be able to upload it there, crop it, see a live preview, and then crop and publish, and boom, you're all done. So it's pretty nice, convenient, all in that one location.
Yeah, that's about two different plugins. that it replaces that I frequently use, which is like the Favicon plugin. And a lot of these things, there's Favicon services out there that let you do this kind of same thing, but then you have to keep downloading and uploading the images. And this, it just seems like it's just replace your image or, you know, start anew with a nice image. Now, what, let me ask, what's the resolution criteria as far as what you have to give it?
They say they want the images to be at least 512 by 512.
Okay. Well, that's doable. Yeah. Well, I can't wait for that. That sounds like a really great improvement.
Yes. And the next thing, which is also a big improvement, are better passwords. So WordPress 4.3 introduces a new user interface for the password reset screen. So it will actually, WordPress will not, in 4.3, it will automatically fill in the new password field with a strong password. So that's great news. So you don't have to worry about trying to figure out one yourself. And then when you add a new user, WordPress will send them a password reset link instead of a pre-selected password in plain text, which is a big no-no. I don't know why WordPress was doing that for so long, but I'm glad that's changing. And during this process, you also have the option to click on a show password button and add a password for the new user. Now, WordPress will also show a strong password, which is autofill when you click on the show password button. And you can also change that password if you want. So overall, just a really nice way of sort of encouraging users, hey, you need a strong password, and we're going to give it to you in case you don't want to come up with it yourself. And some of the passwords they come up with are, I don't know, almost like 12, 13, 15, 16.
Yeah.
They're long and they're strong. And with that recent, was it 4.2 or 4.1 that added that super strong algorithm-based password strength meter, they're using a really good one. So when it says it's a strong password, it's a strong password.
Nice. I like that. I frankly don't have any passwords on my site anymore. I use Clef.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, Clef. Passwordless authentication.
Yeah, and I've the thing about Clef, and Clef, I'll just describe it for those of you that are new to it. It's more like this. When you go to WP Admin, instead of the password prompt, what it does is it displays a barcode, like a moving barcode animation. And it's not just some static animation out there. It's actually like a little fingerprint. And you download the Clef app on your phone. And then you load the app, and then it has the camera function. So basically you're scanning the barcode that's on the screen. And they've also done another thing, which is after the barcode gets scanned, it goes, there's a address on the top of the bar, which is like got some weird ambiguous websites on it. And the app actually says what website is on the screen right now. And then you just push the selection, and then it brings you right back to your back end. So it's got some pretty cool authentication built into Clef. So I think it's getclef.com, where you can go through the repository and see the nice movie poster with my quote in it.
Yeah. And for those listening, if you want to learn more about Clef, I'm pretty sure we had the founder or developer of Clef on the show, and we talked about it. I can't remember the episode number.
Yeah, it's Brennan Byrne.
Yes.
The founder of Clef, and it's pretty amazing. So I've totally taken all of my passwords off of my site, unless they're client sites where they have to log in and you don't really want them to do Clef, but it's quite remarkable. But either way, I love the new features coming in the new version of WordPress that sends these strong passwords. I think that's a major improvement.
Indeed it is. And as someone who writes every day in the WordPress editor, these next set of improvements I'm going to talk about, I'm pretty much probably going to fall in love in. But WordPress 4.3 introduces inline text shortcuts. So these shortcuts are similar to Markdown. If you're familiar with that, it's sort of a fancy, simpler way to style text, make it bold, italicize, things like that. So what these shortcuts will allow you to do is use text patterns, and the text patterns will immediately transform the patterns into HTML. So for example, if I'm in a visual editor in WordPress and I type one period and spacebar, I think it is, or one period and enter, it'll automatically turn into an ordered list. or if I use the star or hyphen sign, it'll start an unordered list. And then if I use the greater sign, it will automatically turn into a block quote. So these are just some really neat shortcuts that allows you to just write in inline. You don't even have to think twice about what you're doing. The list and the block quotes will just automatically happen. It saves you the time from having to stop what you're doing, move your mouse, click the right button, put your text in, click the button again. So these type of shortcuts, I think, are going to come in handy. You're going to save me some time. And I love any improvements to the editor that just makes it more convenient and faster to the right. A good example is in 4.2, which added the ability to add a link. All you had to do is highlight text in the visual editor and paste the link into it, and boom, the text automatically turned into a link. And that's, to be honest, that was one of my favorite features of WordPress 4.2. It's made a world of difference in terms of how quickly I can write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any kind of little advantage that you can get within the editor, even if it makes it 30 seconds faster to make a post, that's very valuable as far as time constraints go. So I like that. I'm just afraid, Jeff, that I'll be just wanting something that I don't want to be a list, an ordered list, and I'll just type one dot something and it'll take over and I don't want it to.
Yeah, so that could be an issue. But guess what? Use the text editor, bro. Actually, no, I don't know.
are you giving me a new shirt for Chris Lemo? Use the text editor, bro.
I don't know. That's a good idea. But I see what you're saying, and I'm curious myself to see after WordPress 4.3 is released and everybody has a chance to take advantage of it and use it, how many people go to the support forums and start creating new threads saying, hey, you know, when I type so-and-so, it automatically changes it to this, and I don't want it to do that.
Yeah. You so. Idiots ruined WordPress. I can see it now.
Yeah, it's time to fork.
Over that.
Yeah, right. Well, it could happen, you know.
Yeah, I doubt it.
So there's a couple of other improvements, too. There's a bunch of things under the hood, but for the most part, that's pretty much WordPress 4.3. In a nutshell. Now, to be honest, I haven't followed the development of 4.3 like I did with 4.2. There's not a lot in there outside of the editor improvements that really excites me. I understand that the improvements to passwords, the strong passwords, that is a big thing for WordPress to have, especially during new installs and creating new users. So I realize that's important. The site icon stuff is just another nice, convenient enhancement. Like you said, is a very simple way, and it eliminates maybe plugins or site generators you'd have to use to have the same feature set. But overall, you know, again, hey, just it looks like it's going to be another solid release, and it should ship sometime in early August. That's the plan, so we'll see.
Yeah, the one thing they didn't do that I wanted them to do would be folders in the media center, in the media library.
Oh, not yet. There's a lot of people that would sort of like that and like a lot of other enhancements in the WordPress media library, but not yet.
That's such a simple thing, too. It's like, let me categorize or tag or do something to my media. I have a site that I have over 10,000 images in the media library. Do you know how much of a pain in the butt it is to go and try and find something and let it load and load and load and load and load when I could just be picking the tag that I want before it loads and tries to freak out and find everything? Maybe I just want to centralize it to one particular thing that I'm looking for, but no.
Well, they might be listening. They might, somebody out there.
That's my own stupid fault for not actually contributing that idea.
So here's an interesting story I read, and I think it's pretty cool, sort of discusses a problem. You know, WordPress.tv, WordPress.tv. Now, Marcus, it launched in January in 2009. So just to give you a little bit of perspective, this was the same year WordPress 2.8 and 2.9 were released. So we're talking about
6 years, six months.
Years.
Yep.
6 years, 6 months. So that's a long time. So in that time span, WordPress.tv has accumulated over 3,500 videos.
Gosh, that's a lot.
So you're talking about tutorials, teaching material, but I think by and large, most of those videos are made up of recorded sessions at WordCamps. So there's an interesting issue that was published on the make.wordpress.tv blog, which is sort of the communication channel for the team that moderates and is in charge of the WordPress.tv website. And they're asking, should there be a UI for outdated content? And the issue we're running into here is they have all these videos and you can access them from 6 years ago about WordPress versions and explanations that probably aren't relevant to the WordPress we know and love today because of all that iteration and improvements that have gone on over the course of those 6 years. So the question is, what do you do with all that content? Do you simply delete it? Do you archive it? Do you come up with a message on the screen that says you are watching content of a WordPress version that's this many years old? Just be warned, or something to that effect. And I just thought it was that WordPress TV has reached a point now where this has become an issue that they have to deal with. And out of all the suggestions I've seen in the comments and the discussions, I think the one that makes the most sense and probably is the less provides the less workload on the team is displaying a message sort similar to like plugins that haven't been updated in 2 years. Well, display a message on WordPress.tv that says this tutorial or this so-and-so video is older than 2 years. You know, use caution or something to that effect. Instead of just outright deleting them, because there's a lot of cool archive stuff in there. And it would be, as someone who likes history and WordPress history and relies on that when I look back on stuff, I wouldn't want to see it just deleted.
Would it be pertinent to maybe put something in there as far as the timeline and signify what version of WordPress was out at the time?
It's possible. And there's also the suggestion that maybe all those videos should be tagged a specific WordPress version that they represent, and maybe that would help. So there's a number of different ideas here, a couple of interesting things. In fact, I'm going to spend some time here, read through this, and probably write a post on the Tavern, so be on the lookout for that. But I just thought it was interesting that all those years and all that content, now WordPress has to come up with a way to, you know, maybe we shouldn't be showing six-year-old content immediately, you know, as the first thing that you should be seeing.
Well, I mean, A, that's a testament to how much work the community has put in that effort, and that's great. But, you know, we don't archive the nightly news and then go back and look 3 years later unless something monumental happened. But,
well, we don't, but well, the Wayback Machine, the Internet Museum does, in fact.
Well, that's a lot of, if I need it, it's there, right? However, I guess it's relevant to what the topic is, right? Because if somebody's talking about WordPress security, does it really, are they going to get that specific on what version of core was, you know, what version of WordPress was being used at the time? Is it really dependent on time-based content versus the version that is in play while that discussion is happening?
Well,
boy, that's some really subjective thoughts that have to go into that.
Well, and to your example, what if 2 years ago I'm talking about WordPress and password generation, and WordPress has that terrible password strength meter that's not really giving you strong passwords? So I'm telling you to use this software, use this other software, or, you know, today, or, you know, if you were to make a video today, it'd be a little bit different in terms of password management and what WordPress does. But so I don't know. I think there's a couple of things and enhancements that make the version number relevant. But yeah, like you said, I get, you know, subjectiveness and the type of content does come into play.
And I don't think there's going to be a volunteer that's going to go through every piece of footage.
No way.
Of the past and then go, oh, they're talking about 3.3, right?
All right.
So I whatever, just leave it like it is. It's fine. I don't think that I have no problems with it. When I mean, the things that are frustrating to me about WordPress.tv is that oftentimes the content that should be there isn't there yet. And I don't know what the holdup is, but like things like WordCamp Orange County that you and I both attended, they don't have the sessions posted yet. Yet I've seen work camps that have happened since then that are on full display. So I don't know what the process is or what the holdup is as far as the content goes, but that's my only beef with the .tv site.
Well, don't quote me on this, but I believe the progression of how that happens is the WordCamp organizers or whoever's in charge has to take that video, upload it to the WordPress.tv servers, and then those people, they have a moderation team that will go through, watch the videos, do the compression, do all that stuff to the videos, and then publish them on WordPress.tv. But they can't do anything on WordPress.tv and can't do anything unless the WordCamp organizing team, someone, uploads that video content.
Yeah, so maybe that's it. Somebody's just dragging their feet.
Well, you know, it's happened at other camps. You know, they get in charge of the videos, and next thing you know, it's like 6 months before we see them.
Yeah, because there are things that I didn't get to see at WordCamp Orange County that I would have loved to. That's the problem when you have multi tracks, when you've got three tracks going on.
Right.
Sometimes there's schedule things that you want to see both of them, but unfortunately you can't because they're scheduled at the same time.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, the beauty of being able to go to a WordCamp and know that sessions are recorded is that you'll be able to watch them later. I guess, you know, who knows how much later.
Yeah. Now, did you watch, since we're on WordPress.tv, did you watch the presentation that Matt Mullenweg gave at WordCamp Europe?
Yes, I actually watched that live as it was happening, stream.
Well, I got to catch it on the replay. And, you know, that's the beauty of this, is that you've got a resource like WordPress.tv that allows you to get in the room. Right, you can get in the room and see exactly what's going on. You've got a clear view, and you know it's mostly audible. But I want to say something to there needs to be more people on the mic, because half the time I can't hear the questions in Q&As.
Yeah,
and that's just something I think that the organizers or whomever is controlling that. I know it's a daunting task to take care of the mic during those situations, but if you're just addressing the general audience that attends WordCamps, make sure you're on mic when you ask a question so that everyone can get the benefit from it.
Well, either on mic or in general, just have the speaker repeat the question, since they obviously should have a mic.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah, that is a good tactic.
But I thought it was amazing that as WordCamp Europe is happening, and it's like in the afternoon there, I was here on my patio eating Eggs Benedict for breakfast, watching Matt Mulloway deliver his presentation. I was just thinking, man, this is pretty cool that I'm able to see this live all the way from across the pond here in the enjoyment of my patio. I mean, that was just a cool realization that this stuff is possible.
Yes, I'd like to see that available for every WordCamp, frankly. I mean, I'd love to, you know, the WordCamps that I can't go to, I'd love to, you know, from a logistics standpoint, or the ones that are halfway across the world, I'd love to be able to tune into that. And I'd pay a premium for that too.
Well, I mean, it all comes down to budgets, cost, equipment, you know, the TriCaster, getting the right, it all comes down to that. And plus, with the number of WordCamps that go on every week and all year, you can't get them all. I mean, that's why you record them, so you can put them on WordPress.tv.
Yeah. No, I would love the live aspect. I'd throw that on Google Chromecast and go watch it in the living room. That'd be fun.
So, want to put any bets on whether WordCamp US is live streamed? It better be.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if it's in the winter in Chicago.
There's no way. There's no way. So let's see. There's some big news that came out the other day. Theme translations and language packs are coming to WordPress.org. Now, we've talked about this a couple of different times throughout the year, but now they're really starting to make headway. So the WordPress meta team yesterday announced that theme translations will soon be available at translate.wordpress.org. And within the next few days or weeks, all the active themes, or at least those updated within the last 2 years, will have their strings imported. Now, if you don't know what a string is, that's the translatable text within a plugin or a theme. And go back and listen to our interview with John James Jacoby, where we actually talk about GlotPress, which is all about translating WordPress. And he'll tell you everything you need to know about what a string is.
Yeah, it's basically, they are common phrases and things that would be used in the installation and usage of a plugin. Mm-hmm. And then the community is called upon to translate what those phrases are in those other languages, so that when you have that particular language in use, then the translation will actually display rather than the typical stock English version.
So the import will involve 1,500 themes, which combined have about 315,000 total strings, but after duplicates, the number drops to only 80,000 unique strings.
Hmm.
So not too bad. So one of the benefits of using language packs is that it will reduce the download size for themes. So I think currently themes actually packaged translated versions of their theme all in the same package. So the different language and the different files actually really increase the file size for a particular theme. So at least relying on the language packs and WordPress.org to handle all that, now you could just strip one theme but be able to take advantage of all the language packs and everything else that'll result in a smaller download size. So that's cool. And
theme developers out there understand that the quicker that you implement this, the more adoption that you're going to get for your theme. So if you can contribute yourself to your own theme, at least in this process, then I think you've got a really good shot for a winner as far as the theme goes.
So there's also plans to give priority to localized themes and localized directories. So let's say someone is searching the Romanian theme directory. They will see Romanian themes prioritized over English-only themes. And that makes sense to me.
There you go. That's exactly what I'm talking about. The quicker you get your stuff translated over, the better you are. So maybe another thing with theme development is go with the things that have the most translated phrases already, as far as your functionality calls.
Right. So the more languages that a theme can be translated into, the greater its prominence in WordPress's language-specific theme directory. So this ought to provide strong motivation for the theme developers to work with the Polyglots team, which is the team that handles all the translations, GlotPress, things of that nature. Now, if you're a theme developer and you want to continue to ship your own translations, you can continue to do so, but what that'll do is opt you out of language packs for those specific translations. Hmm. So you can continue to do that, but I think eventually what they're hoping everyone does is remove those translations from your files, and everybody can work together on specific languages and things like that, translating things, and then it's a central repository of stuff instead of everybody having separate translations for everything.
And so how then are they going to – this is just a general question because I don't know. How do you then, if you're an English developer and you're going to be creating a new theme, how do you designate which of those phrases and such – are already translated in what language? Like, how do you know what's got the green light in China? How do you determine that? Where do you find that information?
I don't know.
Yeah.
My mind is blown.
That's the thing, is I don't know how do you know what to use based on what's the most popular already translated phrases out there? It's a good question.
Not sure. We'll find this out. Right. It would be cool. We're going to get someone on the show, maybe two people sometime in the future, and they're going to tell us everything we want to know about what this means and translations and specific theme directories. We'll find out. We'll bring the people on that are working on it to this show, and we'll sit them down and have a little talk with them to figure this out.
Maybe they won't even speak English. We'll get a translator on the show, too, to translate.
Translate their strings in real time? Oh, brother. So there's a conference taking place this weekend, and it is a WordCamp. There's a couple different WordCamps taking place, actually, but this is different than a WordCamp. It's actually the first 24-hour conference devoted to the Genesis framework. Now, it's set for July 18th through the 20th, and the reason being is that it will take place. There are sessions and people participating, speaking in this conference from all across the world. So it spans all these different time zones, which is why it will be the 18th to the 19th for a lot of people, or the 19th to the 20th if, say, you're in Australia. But it's organized by a community of Genesis users, has no affiliation with Studio Press or Copyblogger Media. And each session will include a place for people to live chat during the sessions through, I think they're going to use Crowdcast and Google Hangouts to power the conference. And it's free. Everything will be free. Everything will be live streamed. All you have to do is register your account with the genesis.camp website and tune in when the live chat opens up, and everything will be free. Everything will be recorded. And I think, you know, this is a long time coming. The Genesis framework community is huge. The Genesis community over in the UK is huge. It's its own cottage industry within the WordPress ecosystem. So to see a camp like this, 24 hours, free, live, all these different sessions for just Genesis, I think it was long overdue. And congratulations to everyone involved organizing this conference. I bet you it'll be a good time.
Boy, wouldn't it be fun to have a 24-hour stream of the after parties going on around the world?
Yeah, they'll all be filled with people sleeping.
Right. No, I like this. I don't think I can stay up for the whole thing, but sounds like fun. I'm gonna definitely check it out, especially since there's a chat window too. I can't wait to see what goes on there.
That could be interesting. However, during WordSesh, which is a 24-hour bunch of different sessions on WordPress event, the moderators did a great job. They did have one troll that came in, but they took care of him. But for the most part, the community and the chat room just was great during the whole 24 hours. So I expect it to be the sort of the same way with the Genesis Camp event.
Very good. I look forward to that.
And last but not least, Topher DeRosa, who I don't think we featured on the show yet, but he's a pretty cool member of the WordPress community. He launched a GoFundMe campaign because he was looking for funding to attend WordCamp Pune, which is in India. And he's the founder of HeroPress, and HeroPress is one of my favorite sites as of late, because every Wednesday there's a survey published by someone in the WordPress community and just talks about their journey and into WordPress and what it's enabled them to accomplish and do in their life and all the essays. In fact, this past month or this past 3 or 4 weeks, it's been focused on sort of teens in WordPress. It's been really cool reading. So he was asking for $2,150, and he labeled up his budget plan on what he would spend that money for so he could attend WordCamp Pune, India, because they had actually invited him out there. And word got around, and next thing you know, he's got $2,405. So he smashed his goal. And I just thought it was really cool, because here we go, another instance of where the WordPress community's generosity strikes again. And he's feeling pretty excited. He's pumped up. And I told him take lots of pictures. And hopefully when he comes back, he can write about his experience on the tavern. I think that would be good reading. So congrats, Topher. And thanks to everyone in the WordPress community for helping Topher realize, to be able to take advantage of this opportunity. It's really cool.
Completely. I would love to do that. That sounds awesome. I think I'm going to start my own GoFundMe campaign so I can do my world tour of WordCamps. What do you think?
So there is someone, her name is Shanta Nawanthi, I think. I hope I didn't butcher that. But she actually has a GoFundMe, and she does a WordCamp campaign. She's trying to go to 10 of them. And her campaign is people keep sending her money, and she keeps going all these different work camps based on people's fun. So if you do it, guess what? You're not the first. And
I don't care. I don't have to be the first. I have to be the highest paid. That's
all right. Yeah, there you go. I knew it. So congrats, Topher. Congrats to the community. Congrats to everyone. So that's going to wrap it up for the news. Like I said, a lot to talk about, a lot to catch you up on. Pretty cool. By the way, I will be at WordCamp Columbus, Ohio this weekend. I'm sometimes WordCamps are just things I just go to, and you know, I expect to have some fun and everything. But this one, I'm kind of really looking forward to. I'm not sure why. I think I've just reached a point where I want to go hang out with some WordPress people again. It's been a few weeks since WordCamp Orange County, so I'm ready to go hang out for a weekend and talk WordPress with some people. So looking forward to that. And
is that your home WordCamp?
Yes. It's one of three I've attended here in Ohio. So this will be my third one. So the hat trick.
Yeah, and congrats today to the organizers of WordCamp Los Angeles. It's sold out in just a matter of a couple hours, which means I will not be going to WordCamp Los Angeles.
Again.
Darn it. But that's okay. I already know everybody anyway, so that's all right.
WordCamp LA, they sell out in hours, it seems like, every year. It's sort of like
a bigger venue. It needs to be bigger.
Yeah, how many people do they usually have going there?
It's got to be as big as Orange County or bigger.
A couple of hundred then, at least. Yeah,
at least.
And then not long after Columbus, let's see, the week after that, no, in 2 weeks, so the week of August 1st, I will be in Minneapolis at the Prestige Conference. So that's the business of WordPress, similar to Pressnomics, but it sort of covers the same type of stuff. So there'll be a lot of business focused sessions and speakers there. So it'll be my first Prestige Conference since they started the event, and really looking forward to that. And I'm really looking forward to just seeing Minneapolis. I hear it's a cool city. So
yeah, it's great. You're going to have a good time.
I am indeed. So with that, why don't you give us our plug-in picks of the week?
All right. I've got three here, and they all revolve around media. The first one is called Background Image Cropper, and much like the feature that you talked about with the site icon, this is a kind of a core feature plugin that adds cropping to background images within the customizer. So if you've got a background image that's really big and you want to just focus on a specific part, you can now crop it just like you can do with header images, but now you can do that for the background. So it's called Background Image Cropper. Just one more feature to the customizer that we all love. Next one is Frontier Restrict Media. Now, Frontier is the company that makes this. So Restrict Media actually restricts users to have access to only their own media files within the media library. It works within the Edit Others Posts hook and will only grant people access to their own media files right in that media gallery. So if you want to kind of restrict the usage, like I had mentioned earlier in the show, sometimes you've got 10,000 images, or you know, a lot at least, this will help to reduce the clutter just slightly by restricting only the person that uploaded the media to be able to view it. It's called Frontier Restrict Media. And finally, Jeff, this one's a really fun one. It's called Image Hover Effects. It allows users to add a custom hover effect to their images and include the captions on it. So basically you hover over the image and it does a cute little effect with the CSS, and it shows the caption just like you would a post or anything like that. It includes out of the box over 40 different unique hover effects. It allows you to make it either a square or a circular image, and all of that is fully controllable right in the admin screen. So you can create multiple categories with multiple short codes, which is how you display this image. And that's all you need to do. So it's got a lot of cool functionality that you would only typically see within a theme, but now you have plugin control over it. It's called Image Hover Effects. And those are my plugin picks of the week.
Awesome. So next Wednesday evening will be the big 200. And I will have Brad Williams, Ronald Eureka, and Patah Dunbar on the show with me. And those three gentlemen were with me at the very start of this thing called WordPress Weekly. Hopefully we'll have Brad on, because I think he'll be in an airport, or I might have to find a way to see if he can call into a Google Hangout, which I think might be possible.
I think it is.
So we'll look into that.
We're going to have a talk show open. We're going to do that.
Well, we'll try. We'll see what happens. And it would be kind of funny if if let's Brett do it Williams called into the show, because it would be like the old days where people were calling in.
Let's do it with TalkShoe. You want to?
No. I don't even know if TalkShoe's still around. If it is.
Me neither. I think it is.
Oh, boy. Great. I don't want to do my 200 show and TalkShoe. I want to forget it.
Retro. Come on. Let's go back.
So that's what we're going to do next week. It'll be a fun time. I can't wait. The big 200. And you know what? After that, I'm just going to do the show. And if I reach 300, great. I'll say hurrah, but probably won't be as exciting because, you know, 300th, blah. You know, I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll still party. Come on now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, spike my drink, I guess. I don't know. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find me on Twitter at Jeffro, J-E-F-F-R-O. You can find show notes for this episode and every other episode on WPTavern.com. And Marcus?
You can find me at my website, MarcusCouch.com, and on Twitter at MarcusCouch.
Okie dokie. So can't wait to talk to you all again next week for the big show. Everybody enjoy the rest of your week. It's get through hump day. Enjoy, have a safe weekend, and we'll talk to you again next Wednesday.